Daniel chapter number 5, kind of an interesting story, as all of Daniel has been thus far. Now let me refresh your memory about a few things in the book of Daniel. The year Daniel occurred was, excuse me, Daniel 5 occurred, 539 B.C., 66 years earlier. In 605 B.C., Jerusalem fell to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So we've progressed 66 years between chapter 1 and chapter 5. Do you know what 66 years does to a teenager? By the time you add his teen years, well, then you get up into the age of a couple of us, okay? We read about this in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, meaning of the temple, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, keep that in mind. These vessels, which were taken from the temple, are going to reappear here in chapter number 5. Now, Belshazzar was the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, and according to Daniel 5:22, he knew some of the things Nebuchadnezzar had experienced. There was Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. In verse 20, in chapter 2, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." Down to verse 46 in Daniel 2. "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation or an offering and sweet odors or incense unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Of course, Daniel had interpreted the vision of this man in Daniel chapter 2. And then we move over into the episode of the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3, verse 23. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Well, that's not the only thing that's happened in Daniel so far. In chapter 4, we see Nebuchadnezzar's vision and its interpretation, starting in verse 10. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat or food for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass or bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a man's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the whole word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Daniel 4:24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Down to verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he, that's Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay, meaning nobody can restrain his hand and say unto him, or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now, not too many years had passed by the time we come to chapter 5, which is in 539 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar has died. Nabonidus succeeded him, and Belshazzar, his son, was co-ruling with him. We begin with chapter 5 with Belshazzar celebrating a great feast with 1,000 of his lords or of his nobles. Unfortunately for Belshazzar, things did not turn out as he anticipated. What is not said here is that the Medes and the Persians had laid siege to the city of Babylon. And yet here he is, having a big party on the inside. In verses 1 through 4, we see that Belshazzar made a contribution to the feast. And what he contributed was contempt for God and for the things of God. Now, he had to have known some of the things that had been reported in Daniel chapters 1 through 4. Belshazzar also showed contempt for the Medes and Persians who were outside the city walls. Having laid siege to the city of Babylon, that means they had surrounded it and nobody could go out or come in or go out. Belshazzar thought they were safe inside the walls of Babylon and paid too little attention to what was going on outside of Babylon's walls. A drunken feast going on inside while the enemy is surrounding the city. Well, the walls were high and thick. They were impregnable. There were supplies stored in Babylon which would sustain it for 20 years. They had an unlimited water supply because the Euphrates River flowed right through the city. Now, this is one of the largest rivers in the world. According to the historian Herodotus, Babylon's protecting walls were 87 feet thick. 87 feet. You know, if it were 90 feet, that'd be 30 yards. Can you imagine going from the goal line to the 30-yard line thickness in these walls? And they were 350 feet high. That's over 100 yards. In fact, it's between 115 and somewhere in that range. Can you imagine looking up at a straight wall, 115 to 120 yards high? And they were dominated by 250 watchtowers and encircled by a moat 35 feet wide. Well, that's about 12 yards. That's the moat. Impregnable. So they thought. There was enough pasture land available within the walls to sustain the populace for 25 years under siege. The Euphrates River flowed diagonally across the city, furnishing an unfailing supply of water. They thought they were safe. As we go into Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, meaning of his nobles, and drank wine before the 1,000, meaning in the presence of or in front of the 1,000. Verse 2, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, got a great idea. He commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, actually his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. I told you to remember those. They're going to show up later. And here they are. That the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Concubines were females who were of a lower class than wives. Their purpose was basically to produce children for the king. And they brought these vessels out that everybody might drink from them. Now they're drinking wine. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. It doesn't mean they were inside of the vessels drinking. It means they were drinking wine from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In this way, Belshazzar contributed contempt for God and for the things of God. Well, now, it doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out that God's not pleased with this. And in verses 5 and 6, we see that God made a contribution to the feast. And what he contributed was the handwriting on the wall. In the same hour, verse 5, came forth fingers of a man's hand. Can you imagine these people that have been doing a lot of drinking and now they see a part of a hand writing over against, or meaning opposite or in front of the candlestick upon the plaster. Now, plaster there is spelled differently from the way we would spell it. On the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, this, you have to understand, he's been drinking. I don't know what effect the alcoholic beverage may have had on him, but I'm sure that he had to wonder what was going on. But then the king's countenance, meaning the king's brightness, was changed. It suggests that his face turned pale. And his thoughts troubled him. His thoughts alarmed him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. He was so frightened that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees smote one against another. His knees knocked together. So Belshazzar made a contribution to the feast. It was contempt for God and the things of God, and contempt for the Medes and Persians. God also made a contribution to the feast. It was the handwriting on the wall. In this way, God made a contribution to the feast. As we go on into verses 7 through 29, we see that Daniel also made a contribution to the feast. And what he contributed was an announcement of doom. Verse 7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now, Belshazzar was co-reigning with his father Nabonidus. This would be the first and second rulers in Babylon. Whoever would read this writing and show the king the interpretation of it would be the third ruler. Now, as you know what's going to happen, the kingdom's not going to last through the night. It's going to be over soon. Then came in all the king's wise men, verse 8, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof or its interpretation. Remember that Daniel had been taken captive from Jerusalem 65 or 66 years earlier. If he was 13 to 15 years of age at that time, he would now be somewhere around 78 to 80 years old at this time. He might no longer have been active as one of the king's wise men. Then was Belshazzar greatly troubled, that is, greatly alarmed or even more terrified. And his countenance, literally the king's brightness, was changed in him. It suggests that his face grew even more pale, and his lords or his nobles were astonished or astonished. They were perplexed or they were baffled. Well, there was quite a ruckus going on inside the palace. Somehow the queen learned about what was going on and where the king and his lords or nobles were. She may have overheard some of it, or she might have been told about it by someone, but she heard a ruckus going on apparently. In verse 10 we read, "Now the queen, by reason of," suggesting because of, "the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, 'O king, live forever.'" That's the way you greeted kings back then. I've never been a king, so I've never been introduced or spoken to quite like that. "Let not thy thoughts trouble thee." Yeah, right. But it says, "Do not let your thoughts alarm you," but they did. "Oh, nor let thy countenance be changed, nor let your face be pale." The queen, who was Belshazzar's mother or perhaps grandmother, she may have been Nebuchadnezzar's wife or daughter, we don't know. In either case, she would have been familiar with Daniel. She says, "There is a man in thy kingdom," or in your kingdom, Belshazzar, "in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." Remember, now there's a difference between the translation, whether you want it to be gods, plural, because the Hebrew word is Elohim and the I am ending on it is plural. So it could be the spirit of the holy gods, or it could be "in whom is the spirit of the holy God." And there's a lot of debate about those things. "And in the days of thy father," in the days of your father, actually of your grandfather, "light and wisdom and understanding, like the wisdom of the gods," or like the wisdom of God, "was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father," or your grandfather, "the king," I say, "thy father," again, your grandfather maybe, "made master," or made chief, "of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers," that is, of the diviners or astrologers. Daniel is the one she's speaking about, and he had been made chief of all these wise men. Verse 12, "For as much as," suggesting inasmuch as or because an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, meaning solving of riddles, and dissolving of doubts, and of solving or of explaining difficult problems, were found in the same Daniel. He's the guy you need, Belshazzar, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, you find that it was not the king that gave him that name. But that's what she said, so it's accurately reported. Now, let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. He will show, or he will declare what it means. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives or exiles of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, meaning whom Nebuchadnezzar, my father or my grandfather, brought out of slavery, brought out of Jewry, I didn't read that correctly, meaning brought out of Judah. Then he says in verse 14, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods, or could be the spirit of God, is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Inasmuch as Belshazzar does not seem overly familiar with Daniel, it suggests that Daniel had not been overly prominent in the Babylonian Empire in recent years. He was no longer a young man or teenager when he came into captivity, and was likely within 2 or 3 years of 80 years old at this time. To some of you, that seems really old, but to some of us, this no longer seems as old as it once did. And now the wise men, meaning the astrologers or the enchanters, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Tell me its interpretation. But they could not show, they could not tell, they could not declare, they could not give the interpretation of the thing, meaning the interpretation of the message. Verse 16, and I, Belshazzar, have heard of thee. I've heard of you, Daniel, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts, that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. Now, if thou canst read, if you, Daniel, are able to read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, meaning its interpretation, thou, that's you, singular, Daniel, shalt be clothed with scarlet, meaning with purple, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, around your neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Again, Nabonidus was the king, and Belshazzar, his son, was co-reigning with Nabonidus. Daniel would be third in command in the Babylonian Empire. That's pretty high rank. Verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Let your gifts be for yourself, which sounds very much like keep your gifts. And give thy rewards, give your rewards to another, to somebody else. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Verse 19 and 4, meaning, and because of the majesty or of the greatness that he, the Most High God, that is, gave him, that is, gave Nebuchadnezzar, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, whomever he wished, he executed. And whom he would, whom he wished, he kept alive. And whom he would, again, whomever he wished, he set up. And whom he would, whomever he wished, he put down. He was an absolute monarch. Verse 20. But when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up, and his mind, meaning his spirit, was hardened in pride, he, Nebuchadnezzar, was deposed, was brought down from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Verse 21, and he, meaning Nebuchadnezzar, was driven from the sons of men. He was driven from the children of mankind, or he was driven from people. And his heart, or his mind, was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses, or with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen. Can't you just imagine how yummy that would be for 7 years? And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled, that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth or appoints over it whomsoever he will, or whomever he will. You know, God might put you in an interesting circumstance one of these days until you recognize your proper position before him. In verses 22 and 23, Daniel accused Belshazzar of pride, of desecrating the vessels from God's temple, and of idolatry. We move into verse 22. And thou, his son, or Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled thine heart. You have not humbled your heart. Though you knewest, that is, although you knew all this, he wasn't ignorant, but hast lifted up thyself, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house, meaning of the Lord's temple, before thee, before you, and thou, that is, and you, and thy lords, you and your lords or your nobles, thy or your wives, thy or your concubines have drunk wine in them, or have drunk wine from these vessels. They're desecrating these vessels. And thou hast, you have, that's you singular, thou, you have praised the gods of silver and gold, or of brass, or of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, the God who holds your breath in his hand. And that's what God does with us too, isn't it? He holds our breath in his hand. And whose are all thy ways? It means, and God owns all your ways. You have not glorified, you have not honored this God. Verse 24, as a result of this, then was the part of the hand sent from him, that is from God, and this writing was written. It's written for you, Belshazzar. Verse 25, and this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. If you were pronouncing it in Hebrew, it would be mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. The writing was not in an unknown language, though possibly in an unusual script, and perhaps also mixed up as an anagram. In case you wondered what an anagram is, I wondered too. An anagram is a word or phrase made by changing the order of the letters of another word or phrase. In other words, you mix up some of the letters and it says something different. In any case, the meaning was unknown until Daniel interpreted. And this, we go into verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, or many. God hath numbered thy kingdom. That is, he's numbered your kingdom, Belshazzar, which of course was Babylon, and finished it. It means, and brought it, brought your kingdom to an end. Why is it doubled? Well, most likely its doubling was for emphasis. Tekel, tekel, thou, that is you, Belshazzar, art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You've been weighed and found lacking or deficient. Peres or peris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Peres or peris is the singular of Farsin and or Farsin, and the you means and. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet or with purple, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In this way, Daniel contributed to the feast by reading the handwriting on the wall and thereby announcing that Belshazzar had been found lacking and that the Babylonian kingdom was doomed and was being given to the Medes and the Persians, who just happened to be outside the walls. In verses 30 through 31, we see that Darius made a contribution to the feast. What he contributed was the destruction of Babylon. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Like I said, it didn't take long that the kingdom would be a thing of the past. Although the city had been under a long siege, the Babylonians thought they were secure, having stored 20 years of supplies and having the Euphrates River flowing through the city. The night of the banquet, the enemy had diverted the water of the Euphrates River by means of a canal linked to a lake. So outside where they couldn't see it, there was a digging operation going on. It was preparing water to go to a nearby lake. And of course, when they then blocked the downstream flow of the river from that diversion point, the Euphrates River would dry up gradually. This enabled the soldiers to enter under the gates. Both Herodotus and Xenophon describe this. The date was October 12, 539 BC. Herodotus tells it how it happened. Darius divided the attacking troops into three forces. One was stationed at the place where the river entered Babylon. Remember, it flowed diagonally across Babylon. And another was stationed where the river left Babylon. The third diverted the water. When the riverbed was dry enough to permit them to enter it, they entered the city, surprised the defenders, and took the town intact. Verse 31. And Darius the Median took or received the kingdom, meaning Babylon, being about 62 years old, being about 62. Somebody about Alan's age, I'm guessing, all right? Used to seem really old. Now 62 is no big deal. It seems kind of young, doesn't it? The more mature we become. Darius, who is he? We don't know. His identity is uncertain. It's been suggested that he was Gubaru, a governor under Cyrus, the king of Persia. Or Darius may be another name for Cyrus himself. Or he may have been Cambyses, the son of Cyrus, who served as ruler of Babylon. The fact is simple. We don't know who he was other than by the name Darius. In this way, Darius contributed to the feast with the destruction of Babylon. Although God used Babylon to punish Israel, God also punished Babylon for its treatment of Israel. It shows, as Nebuchadnezzar learned, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Is that still true? Of course it is. God would raise up Cyrus, who would then permit the Jews to return to Palestine in 535 BC. This would be 4 years after the fall of Babylon, or 70 years following the beginning of the captivity. As you know, God still rules in the kingdom of men. Although the United States seems all-powerful at this time in history, it's only this way because God has allowed it. If the people will pursue after God with all their hearts, God can keep it this way. But if the people are contrary to God and Christianity, which quite a few are, God can destroy the USA as we know it in a heartbeat. It's important that we as a church and a group of families continue to pursue after the Lord and the study of His Word with all our hearts. We can't control what's going to happen in our country. What we can control is what goes on in our own lives and in our own church and, of course, in our own families. Kind of an interesting episode in the life of Daniel. We'll go on, Lord willing, with chapter 6 next time. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you again that we have the wonderful privilege of studying thy word, and what an amazing study this is in Daniel. Help us to understand it, comprehend it, and live the way we should in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.